we as women, I think, don't want to shake an apple cart, apple tree, apple cart, whatever. You know, we don't want
either one. If you shake either one, apples fall.
I don't want to
probably
shake
more from the cart to the tree, but either way, it's going to be a mess.
I don't want to shake the boat. I don't want to rock.
I don't want to rock the tree.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. And Rachel is not here to add in her part because she is in Paris on her honeymoon. So instead, playing the part of Rachel Pitts today is Keith Walters.
Hey, hi. Gina, how are you?
Actually, Rachel has a lower voice than that.
She does, actually. I'm happy we got her permission. She said we can play without her. So if you've tuned in and you're like, where's Rachel?
Where is
just
Rachel?
Just pretend she's here and Keith will every now and then take on her voice and her persona.
I'm not that talented like you, Gina. Gina has the ability to mimic people so well.
Especially Keith Walters. So how's it going, Keith?
It is incredible, Gina.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty incredible myself.
Yes, you are.
I have come through all kinds of craziness. But I have realized that that is life. Life is fun and crazy like that. So I'm getting ready to hit the road again.
Good.
So, I mean, people will hear this in a few weeks, and I will have been to and from Omaha, Nebraska.
The Midwest.
The Midwest.
Where we have some incredible listeners.
We do have incredible listeners in Omaha specifically, so I'm excited to see some of my peeps that I've created connections with there and do some Vistage speaking that I love to do so much. I'm going to teach those CEOs how to sell like a child.
Sell, sell, sell. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, aren't we?
What are we talking about today? We are talking about our favorite topic to argue over, the power questions.
Oh, I thought we were talking about no.
Well, that's right.
No, Gina. No, that's not what we're doing today.
Oh, that's right. It's always on my mind to fight with you about power questions. So, but you know, sometimes you ask questions and you receive the answer of no.
It's a very powerful answer.
Yeah. Tell me why you think that.
Well, I think, you know, you're going to visit with a group of CEOs, and, you know, one of the biggest challenges most companies face, especially smaller growing companies and the CEOs and Vistage and so forth, is the lack of focus. And focus is so critical to growing companies. And one of the key things about focus is just the word no.
Because what is no? People are afraid of no. And I don't understand why. Because no is what gives you, no gives you answers about what your buyer wants.
There's a lot of power in no, but, you know, no is equitable in a lot of people's minds to rejection. I don't think it is equitable to rejection, but a lot of people see it as rejection. And people don't like to be rejected. They take it personally.
Yeah,
so
maybe
they're afraid of no.
Yeah. Do you think maybe they take it personally?
I think they do. They take it personally. They see a no as an affront to themselves as opposed to what you just ask for isn't right in the moment.
It goes back to, I think, in the sales process of putting the spotlight on your customer, on your prospect, of what's best for them and what do they want, and not worrying about yourself.
Well, I think that's true. You know, there's a lot of things about no. If you're asking the prospect the right questions, then then you know, you may be able to get to a yes instead of a no because you're positioning things well.
Speaking of questions,
let's, yes, talk about questions.
What would be some good questions? I know that in Never Split the Difference, doesn't Chris Voss talk about the focus is really getting to know? So what are some questions that we can ask that would elicit more no's to
Well,
get to a yes?
he talks about getting yes answers as rapidly as possible. So asking questions that are going to get to a yes, just to program the yes in. So is your name Gina?
Yes.
See, oh wow, look, see, I'm already So from a negotiation standpoint, you know, the idea is to how do you get the yes programmed in so it becomes more of a regular response?
And what's the thought process behind that of getting your prospect to feel like they're in power?
Yeah. And to get an agreement, to get them into the rhythm, to
You
start
don't get me. Okay.
opening them up. There's a rhythm and a programming. But you know, that's in negotiation. In negotiation, you're kind of toward the end of a deal. I think one of the things that people forget about no is that, you know, what are the alternatives to no? And, you know, one alternative to no is yes, which is a great alternative.
Well, it's what we want,
And then there's one other alternative,
which is
maybe. And that's where in sales, so many people get stuck is the maybe. Because,
I love maybes.
yeah, and so it's a waste of time. See, because either there's a sell or there's not.
See, to me, maybe says there's hope.
Yeah, in sales training and sales methodology, you know, and as a sales leader, manager, someone who spends money on salespeople and their time, maybe is for a lot of people a soft way to say no, but they're afraid to say it. And
True.
then you get into a cycle in sales, which we call the chase. And you know, if you think about two kids playing tag or whatever, now you get into the chase. And the chase is kind of, in my mind, a waste of time. Either the answer is either yes or no. And
What
if
about
I'm,
not now? I'm a believer in the not now
that's a
answer.
maybe. That's a, oh, and so if it's a not now, then okay, when?
Well, yeah, well, there goes your follow-up power question.
Right.
I was on some sales calls last week with previous slash current clients, right? Work we've done with clients that I was doing follow-ups with, because where we left off last year and some of what we were doing for them, it was okay, let's relook at this in a few months and come up with a new strategy. And so I've done a little bit of a chase on that with them to get them like back on board. So I thought I sort of lost them, but I stayed on top of, and I guess that's important too, is the consistency. So I stayed on top of that and we had another call, and now we've got something on the books for fourth quarter, because they needed time to kind of recoup and look at things and strategize. And so I was able to get that business back.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid, because you went into somewhat of a marketing mindset instead of a selling mindset in that interim period. But one of the things I see in salespeople is, you know, there's a prospect and the prospect isn't saying yes, but they're not saying no. And so the salesperson will report that this is an imminent deal, but all that's going back and forth is a pushback, a chase and a chase and a
Yeah.
chase. And while the salesperson is involved in chasing that prospect, they are not selling to other prospects who
Right.
could be buying. And so one of the trade-offs is the time you spend in that chase without any money coming into your pocket is time that could be spent getting a yes from somebody else and putting money in your pocket.
Well, then we're digging even deeper there, because that comes really down to prospecting too. I mean, qualifying.
Qualifying, right.
You know,
And that's sometimes is where this chase happens a lot, is where you have unqualified prospects. But I love getting to a no. I mean, no is, from a sales perspective, is a real powerful word answer. You know.
So what's your advice? What's your advice to other people in sales when they get a hardcore no?
Then appreciate it. Know that you're not going to be wasting your time. Thank the prospect for, you know, getting a no, and then go back to that old adage. Now you're one no closer to the yes.
But don't you think that sometimes a no is really about pushing back with an objection that you can overcome, and it's not really a no, it's a knee-jerk reaction no?
Well, I don't think most prospects will tell you no. I think prospects, if they're pushing back, will...
Oh, you haven't met me.
Well, so... I have met you, and you're probably... You're different. So
I'm pretty
aspect,
good about saying no.
Yeah, you see, you embrace no. Yeah. But most people are reluctant to say no. So instead, they'll say maybe, which really is kind of a no. And one of the things that I've had a lot of success with my sales teams is... and this is really hard to get people to do this, is to try to get the customer or the prospect to tell you no. So, you know, I'm selling you something, Gina, and I call you and you say, well, maybe, you know, let me think about this. And then, you know, then I call you a week later. It's like, well, yeah, you know, I just need to talk to my boss, but he's traveling, you know, and all this kind of chase stuff. What I tell my salespeople is, that's not going to fly. I want you to get a no. You have to get the prospect to tell you the word no. Not maybe, not right now, the word no. And it's so interesting how many of those pushes to get the word no turns into a sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it turns into the word no, which means now I'm closer to a yes, and now I don't have to waste time.
Yeah. Yeah. So did your salespeople, and I think for our listeners who maybe are new to this podcast or just coming in and don't know who Keith Walters is, let's do kind of a quick background on your experience in managing sales team. Could you just give us a little Keith Walters background?
Yeah, I've built sales teams in a number of companies, and in the last company we built a really good sized sales team that was very successful. And
so I want everyone to know that what your background is on that. So when you were pushing on your people to get the no, did you give them some suggestions of like how to get the no?
Oh yeah. And you know, one of the things I do with the sales teams that I'm either running or that are somewhere in my organization is they're fine to use me as a foil. So, you know, so if I'm calling on you, Gina, and you've been putting me off, and it's like, Gina, hey, how's it going? You know, we talked last week. I was just getting ready to just giving you a call back. See what you're thinking about that deal. You know, it's only $1,000 and maybe we should go forward. And then, you know, you'll probably give me a pushback.
I'm really busy right now. I'm like traveling. I don't have time to look at my budget.
Yeah, no. And
can you call me back?
Well, Gina, I just hate to. I'm going to have to keep calling. And my boss, he's this real ass. He's going to make me start calling you like two or three times a day.
Well, I just won't pick up the phone.
Well, I'm just going to have to keep email and all this other stuff. And all you have, look, I will quit calling you. All you have to do is tell me, no, I don't want this. And it's, I know I hate this, but this guy, Keith, he won't let us close this opportunity in Salesforce until you tell me no. And as long as it's an opportunity in Salesforce, and I've got to keep contacting you. And if you don't want, look, I understand if you don't want this. If you don't want to use this to help your company grow, I understand that. But, and maybe $1,000 is too much. That's as low as I can go. But if you can't afford it or if you don't want to use it, that's fine. But all I got to do, just tell me no, please.
Okay, no, go away.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll talk in the future, but thank
or
you
not.
So much,
okay,
Gina.
Take care. Find a new job.
Yeah. So now then, you're going to go into my marketing drip campaign, and probably in 2 or 3 months, I'm going to reach out to you and say, hey, Gina, yeah, we chatted. Listen, I know you told me no. I know this isn't what you want, but do you have any other friends or contacts in business who might want this? And you know I won't bug them, because you know I if they don't want it, I'm not going to try and push them, just like I haven't pushed you.
No, Keith, I don't know anybody.
Okay. That's fine. The likelihood is most people are going to then
Well, I got to tell you, through that kind of role play that we totally improvised and did not plan and discuss, I was starting, and I'm a very, the word's emotional, right? But whatever. I'm an empath, so I can, mm-hmm. I can feel people's anxiety, really easily. It kind of sucks, but yet mm-hmm. it's really good for me in sales. I was all of a sudden starting to feel guilty for not giving you an opportunity. I was like, fuck, let me just give him $1,000. Like, this poor sniveling dude, his boss has him by the balls. I should give him some money.
Well, if you think about real true sales, if I'm selling something that you need and want and is of value to you, buy it. If it's not of need or value of want, then don't buy it. Because I don't want to sell something that's not going to leave a good impression, because I'm building a business. I want my customers to have a good response to my product or my service.
Yeah.
But all I want to do is get the prospect off the mark of maybe, non-committal, one way or the other.
And I think it also depends on what it is you're selling. Mm-hmm. What is the sales model for the organization? So a higher ticket item might require a higher ticket item. It might be okay to get maybe, because you're building, if you're in a relationship selling model, you might have to take some time.
Well, I will, and I'll push back. If you were selling for me, I would push back and say, I don't agree. You may not get yes to the deal, but you may get yes to you. I want you to get yes to the next step.
Right, right.
So, and that's a sell. The next step is a sell. And in these bigger ticket items where you have a longer sales cycle, let get a specific yes to a specific next step.
Right.
Instead of maybe, let me see if I can put you in touch with my boss. That's still a maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get a meeting set up with your boss. That's a sell.
Right, and with what we sell at Pivot 10, which is training, is a higher mm-hmm. ticket item with a much longer cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always selling into the next step, but I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm not closing a deal.
But you're closing the next step.
I'm closing the next step.
And sales are a series of steps, right? And the challenge is, don't get stuck in the maybe on any of the steps. But I think most people, most people are afraid to say no. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't
so that reminds you. Me of yes. That reminds me of yes and versus yes but. People yes but you.
Yes.
Because they don't want to. They think it's a nice way to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, because I've done so much training in this, we hate being yes butted because we feel like we're being shot down and it's a horrible feeling, but we yes but because we think we're being nice.
Right.
Do you see the irony in that?
I do see the irony of that. So how are you in saying no, Gina? Are you good at saying no?
I am really good at saying no. But it's taken me a long time, and I think no is more of a issue as a woman with setting boundaries. So if you think about from a gender perspective, and this is not all women, so for those of you who are going to have your arms in the air about it, chill, it's all good. I think a lot of us have boundary issues where we say yes to everything because we want to please everybody. So maybe in a sales situation, we might actually say maybe because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
And we keep taking things on. I finally, and the irony is because I teach people the yes and concept of say yes to everything. And that is how I grew my business and my career and my whole mindset. It's a mindset. There was a point, though, where I had to start saying no because I only have so much bandwidth.
Well, it gets back into that yes and is a yes and is a specific yes. Yes, but is not a specific no. It's a maybe. It's a no.
It's a no,
but it's not a no. It's you saying no and the other person hearing yes, possibly.
Yeah. Maybe. We can't do it right now.
Yeah. So you leave hope and
yeah.
And all this, you know, and so the other person is still thinking something's going. Yeah, the whole, you know, you bring up the gender question. Is that an empath behavior then? Is that?
It could be. It doesn't have to necessarily be male versus female, although women, I think, are more empathetic and are more likely to be empaths than men.
Yeah. I don't think it's male, female, but I think there's masculine behaviors and feminine behaviors, which all, I think, you know, males have some feminine behaviors and women have some masculine behaviors. But I think, you know, if you look at the other side of the no, which becomes the fear of asking for things, because you'll get no. And I think that the fear of the no, there's the power of the no, but there's also the fear of the no.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you have the fear of the no, you shouldn't be in sales. Nor should you own a business.
Well, how do you get over that fear of no? See, I think you've made the comment before and we've talked about it, and here's the hate mail getting ready. Okay, everybody get your fingers ready. Everybody get your fingers ready.
Here come the letters.
So we've talked a little bit about pay inequality between genders.
Uh-huh. You know, I have a very strong position.
I have a very strong opinion about that.
As do I.
And I think, I don't believe it. I think you get paid what you are worth and, very importantly, what you ask for. And I think culturally, culturally, women in general in our culture are programmed or indoctrinated, rather, to not ask for things. And I think men have more of an indoctrination to ask for things. I still see that men don't ask as much. But so, and why is that? And then because there's this fear of asking, part of it maybe because it's a fear of getting no.
Well, it's a fear of getting no because we, and I'll just collectively say we as a gender, I'll speak for, sorry, here come the letters. We as women, I think, don't want to shake an apple cart, whatever. You know, we don't want to.
Either one. If you shake either one, apples fall.
I don't want to
shake. Probably more from the cart to the tree, but either way, it's going to be a mess.
I don't want to shake the boat. I don't want to rock.
I don't want to rock the tree.
I cannot get my. I don't want to rock the tree. That's it. That's my new phrase. I don't want to rock the tree. And we want to, you know, we're the nurturers and we want to keep the peace. Yeah, we want to keep the peace. Want you to like me. Which reminds me of, this is so off topic. I was watching a Lifetime movie this weekend, which I never do. It was called The Blue-Eyed Butcher, and it was this woman who, like, killed her husband in Texas and, like, stabbed him 200 times. I'm laughing through this. I'm sorry. But her I study personality and behavior, so for fun, and she kept saying through the movie, and Lifetime scripts are bad, but I think there's a point to this. Through the movie, she kept saying, "Do you think they like me? I just want them to like me."
Oh, that's so classic.
And it was so like, good. You know, when she was like, you know, in court and the jury and then she got a new lawyer, she's like, "Do you like me? Look at my lipstick." Like, and I'm making a mockery of it, but I think we do want to keep the peace and we don't want to shake things up. And so we're a little more likely to be empaths and avoiding saying no and avoiding conflict. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to asking for more. I've coached a lot of women in this on asking for what they're worth, whether they're entrepreneurs or in their jobs. I'm like, why aren't you asking for more? Well, you know, I just really want this job and it's a good opportunity. I really need a job right now. And, you know, I don't want them to change their mind. And so I'm just going to go with what they're offering. I'm like, no. Would a man do that? A man wouldn't do that.
No.
Exactly.
Well, see, it's kind of a confusion of no. It's not being able to separate no from, from like, from personal. No isn't personal. You know, no is a specific answer to a question.
Yeah.
But it's taken personally. So how do you separate the personal aspect from the word?
I'm a big believer in general, and you kind of asked this in a different way a couple minutes ago, of how do you get better at no? And I think it's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you get better? How do you get over the fear? I think your question was about fear. Well, like in improv, with improv classes, what we're doing is we're reconditioning people to be okay with failing. So when you get on stage, you have to be okay with it's not going to go so great.
Right.
You know,
and that's an even deeper fear, because no isn't necessarily a failure.
Right, but I think there's a stigma attached to it that people think it's a failure.
They and combine it's not a no failure. With all these other emotions.
Exactly, and to me, no is like a gift.
You told me no, Gina. That means you don't like me.
And sometimes I might say no because I don't like you. I mean, and that's another good point. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm on this. I got relationship selling on my mind because it's part of my presentation. But then I tell this story in this Sell Like a Child talk. When I was a media buyer, I had the sales rep that came. He was fresh off the line coming to be a salesperson. And he was trying to sell me on the all holiday music format on radio, because I bought a lot of radio in the Chicago market. Now, mm-hmm. Chicago's big, so there's a lot of radio stations. And this is right when they started playing with this all holiday music format. So it was brand new. It was a brand new thing, which now, you know, is done every year all over the country. I was skeptical, right? And I was a young media buyer. And I had a boss that would literally go, Gina, sales are down. She would literally scream across the office like that. It was an all-Italian office, if that gives you any ideas of what was going on. So this guy comes in and selling me on this concept. And I said, you know, I don't think this is for us. He's like, what? You don't care? What? You don't care about your business growing? I was like, oh, wrong power question. And I was pissed. And I go, oh, I care. I'm like, come back and show me some actual stats on this. And then we'll talk. I'm like, but I'm not buying this because it's not proven. That's my answer to you. And he was just really surly and cocky. And I was like, oh, you pushed the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And I called his manager and said, here's why I'm not buying. I thought you'd like to know. And if you'd like my business, I suggest you send me another sales rep.
Yeah. So he combined that no with an emotion of an emotional response to it. You know,
right. Instead of validating my concern.
Right.
And continuing the conversation. And here's the thing. He was a rep that was assigned to me from a previous rep that, you know, radio salespeople, like they were like the turnover was so high. So I already was buying. I was already a client. It wasn't that I wasn't a client of the station. But he was trying to sell me something in their arsenal that I didn't want, and jeopardizing the entire relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he couldn't accept no.
Right. But yeah, that was his own insecurity, his own fears. He wasn't given the tools. And I think a lot of times sales people are not given training and tools for how to overcome this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you made a point that nobody should be in sales if they're not willing to accept no. But to a degree, in business, we're all in sales. We're selling ourselves on a new role, on a new comp. So
I guess I should rephrase that and say you shouldn't be living. That was wrong. I'm sorry. Because we're we're always selling. I mean, I had to just sell something to my husband this morning.
Which, let's not go there.
But I got it. Yeah. It was money related. Yeah, but I got a yes. I got a yes.
Of course you did. Of course. Yes is people prefer saying yes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to chase him for it now, but but I got a yes.
Oh, that's
because
great.
It was a reluctant, like, yeah, okay, fine.
Ooh, is that really a yes?
It's a yes. It's a yes. Hey, I cooked him his favorite meal this weekend. I was there was a lot of strategy going into before I made my ask this morning.
Got the whole pitch going.
Oh, I mean, I didn't even have to do much of a pitch because I did, you know, we can relate this back. I did things that I knew would.
It was relationship selling.
Yeah, I did things that would endear myself to him. That even if he didn't want to say yes, he was going to say yes.
There you go. And if he had said no, then you would have known.
I would have asked again later.
Yeah. Nine no's to a yes.
Exactly.
Just get them to tell you no again.
Exactly. Watch this. This will be the one episode he listens to. But anyway.
So, you know, we're talking about asking those questions, and you're talking about an improv ability to fail. There's a woman that mentors me, and you know, she's taught me this exercise about no, and it's pretty effective in any kind of aspect. But you know, two people, one person asks questions of what they want, and the other person has no choice but to say no. Every question has to be answered with a no. Mm-hmm. And it's really effective from both sides, because one side gets used to saying no, and the other side gets used to asking questions and expecting no and removing the emotion from the no.
Ooh, ask me some questions so I can say no to you.
Gina, would you, every podcast you do, about every minute and a half, I'd like you to promote me and my speaking.
No.
Wow. So, Gina, well, you do a podcast, you know, bicycle riding is one of my favorite things to do. So will you do a podcast on bicycle riding?
No.
So, Gina, I'm thinking about going to Europe, maybe a luxury trip. Why don't you come along with me?
No. No.
So the exercise can be really fun because you can go into these specific things you want where it's really easy for the other person to tell you no. And then you can do these things where it's really hard for the other person to tell you no. And it's fun because it actually works both sides of the challenge. One, asking the questions that you're afraid to ask, and what happens if you get a no. And then from the other side of the equation, saying no when it's both easy and saying no when it's hard. From a leadership perspective, this is actually one of the hardest things to do, is saying no when it's hard to say no. And so if you expand it beyond sales and just look at life and leadership and all those different aspects, it's kind of a fun exercise just to kind of reinforce that. Both asking, the power of questions, and the power of no.
Well, very good. I may use that. I may steal that from you.
And I stole it myself, so
I may use it with my I may use it with my CEOs this week.
Cool. They should be able to tell you no, but a lot of them can't.
That'll be fun. I think they kind of said no by not answering my survey, but we'll see.
That was not a no. That was a maybe.
So any other suggestions or tips for our Warners on how to get better at the no?
Just embrace it.
Are there any good books on that?
Well, I ran across one. I haven't read it. And I think I sent you a link to it. And it was, let me see if I think I have it here on my Amazon. Did you have it? Or?
Yeah, power no. Hold on.
The power of no.
The power of no.
Oh, yeah, no. It was one little word. Yeah, go ahead.
Because one little word can bring health, abundance, and happiness. By James Altucher. We'll put a link to that book in our show notes.
And I haven't read it, but it's got some pretty decent reviews, and it's something that I'm going to take a look at. A guide to help you take back power, and it gets back into the power. A well-placed no can save you time and trouble. And, you know, I've got, you know, I'm a quotes person, Gina, so I've got all these quotes about, you know, saying no.
Now I'm going to have to get those quotes too.
Yes.
Put them in my email signature.
Yeah. You know, Warren Buffett, I love this one. The difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything.
I love that. So I love that. Well, Warren Buffett has some great advice in general. I've read a lot of things that he posts on, or that have been posted about him, on how to be an effective leader.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that no thing is, again, saying no to things that are not going to serve you or serve your company or serve your business.
Right. And then from a sales perspective, if you get the no, you know, know that it's not a no in the long term. It's a no right now. And respect the no and don't take it personally. Just like, okay, cool. Yeah. On to the next one.
I think that's the biggest thing for anyone listening, is that, to me, that's my biggest thing for you, is don't take it personally. It is part of the process. People are going to say no, and they're going to object. It's part of the process. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm. Unless it is, but...
But it goes back to our number one rule of improv, of making other people look good.
Right. Yeah.
And the making other people look good is about putting them first and thinking of them first.
Mm-hmm.
This came up once in one of my presentations. I thought this was interesting. It might have actually been one of my workshops in Dallas last year, but someone said, I'm still on page 5 of the proposal. You've gone to page 50 as the salesperson, because you're trying to like push through on your agenda, and I'm still trying to digest.
Yeah. So that's you and not them.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's great for your improv, because if you put the focus on them, you know what? They feel it. They respect it. It creates more of a relationship. It is about them.
Yeah. You spotlight them and their concerns.
Yeah.
And their wins as well, and continuing to keep the relationship going.
And as Dale Carnegie a long time ago said, make sure it's genuine.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Don't be faking it.
No.
Don't fake it.
We're not faking it here.
We're not faking it. Before we wrap up, I do want to throw this one at you, oh mentor of mine, because I don't think I've talked to you about this one. So I spoke at a medical conference.
Wow.
Couple weeks
doctors?
Ago. Doctors? Yeah, it was all doctors. It was actually quite a fascinating experience for me, because I've done some work with... We've done work with nurses. We do work with first-year residents. This was the first time I was in a room with like full-out doctors and professors of medical schools who were doctors.
Did they come all with their stethoscopes around their neck? So here's this room. I can just see it. They're all in their lab coats.
No.
Oh,
no.
Damn. Okay.
No, they did not. So we were talking about the power of improv for empathy for healthcare, and how you could improve patient care by being more empathetic and not just processing the patient. Which, do you think about this in sales, right? Sometimes if you have a transactional model and you're just processing and you're really not paying attention to the relationship. So long story short, one of the doctors reached out to me and asked for you know, can you give us a quote on doing this kind of training with our residents? Cool.
Very good.
I never respond in an email with, yeah, it's this amount of money. You want to buy? Like, it's just, that doesn't work. So I always go for the, let's get on a call. Let's, you know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about your desired outcomes. Let's get more information. Because in that presentation, we talked about the success that we had in our local market partnering with a hospital. And so someone from the hospital was actually in that presentation, was part of my presentation. So we were able to give stats on why this is important for other hospitals to be doing. So they got that. So there's a piece of it of, this should be recurring. This shouldn't just be a one-time kind of thing. So that was sort of my question back to her is, you know, we need to talk more about how you see this going before I can just give you a number. And her email response was, well, my director has to approve this. And my answer was, approve the conversation. I mean, I was asking for a conversation. And that's where it kind of like stalemated. Like, I was like, well, here are the questions I would want to explore with you. So now I got to go back in. And now I'm just going to hardcore get on the phone and be like, all right, let's talk. Like, I'm going to chase it a little bit.
Well, it's, you know, we didn't talk anything about this, but, and there was a Harvard study years and years ago about email and negotiating via email, and that in negotiating via email, usually both parties end up with the worst situation.
Ooh.
And a no disguised as a maybe is so easy in email. And the reason being is because email is impersonal.
Yeah.
But trying to get that same, and that's why people don't pick up the phone. Texting is actually probably more personal than email.
Yeah.
And because it's more direct, it's more synchronous. So email, prospecting via email, and I'm so glad that you pushed and said, we got to get on the phone, because prospecting via email almost always ends up in the world of maybe. And that world of maybe happens because you send me an email and I just like delete it. Or it's so easy for me to just to make up, type a little excuse and send it to you. But if you're voice to voice with me, it's so much more connected and personal from your perspective that
right.
You may not be able to say that. So the maybe trap is huge through an email perspective.
Yeah. So how do you get that person to, how do you get that person on the phone? And well, and here, and I have to add this piece to it, because I think this is another piece to it. I actually, because it was a fairly large group of people that came to this session at this conference. So I looked her up and I'm like, oh, I remember that person. And she was very, very engaged in the session. Her and whoever she was with, and English was her second language. So you add that as another complication in an email.
Mm-hmm.
So her response, I need approval, is she wasn't understanding that I'm like, let's talk about it. So I think there was another piece of it that complicated it.
Well, but it gets right back into your personal and your relationship selling of how do you create a personal relationship. What little aspect of it could be, listen, there's a little story I want to tell you. I really don't want to put it down in an email, so let's talk. Or it could be, I love your accent, and I would just love to hear your voice on the phone. Or it could be, there's so many details here. It would like take me an hour to write out this email to where it would make sense for me to write it out. So it would just be, And then you've got to plow through that. It's like, oh, I don't want you to have to do that. It's just going to be easier if we can just talk for 5 minutes. And then it's about making a contract and sticking with the contract about, we're going to talk for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, 5 minutes. When you get them on the phone, oh, look, we've been talking for 5 minutes. Are you okay to go a little bit longer?
Yeah.
But don't take advantage of them.
Well, I think people are definitely, I had this with another client that I'd been prospecting for years. And when I reached out via email and said, hey, just, you know, can we get on a call? And the response was, we have your information. We're not looking for any training. And I was like, I just wanted to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then it became a catch-up conversation that by the end of it turned into a, can you give us a proposal? Like, I'd never even offered it. Like, it was asked.
Yeah.
Because it's disarming them a little bit.
And if you take a genuine interest in that person, and, you know, what is it about their dog or their child or their vacation or their ski? If you take a genuine interest in that person,
yeah,
and you can talk about something that is of genuine interest to them, then they'll be willing.
And here's more than likely. And here's my other thing for people listening on the, when you're dealing with email. Keep in mind, like, I already know this in the back of my mind. This goes back to putting people first. I'm talking to a doctor. They have insane schedules. They don't have normal schedules. That could be another, and I know that. So I've gone back and forth with some emails, but I know what's going to have to happen next is I'm just going to have to make a phone call. Duh. And now start, you know, continuous, like, hey, just thought I'd try to call you, thought this would be easy, you know, faster. Let's, you know, what's a good time to talk to you? Because she might not even be reading emails for days.
Mm-hmm. And then make the commitment of a small amount of time.
Right.
And honor that commitment. Because they are.
So think about that with anyone. People are busy. And people mm-hmm. have erratic schedules in their businesses, depending on their industry. So keep that in mind. And don't think that an unanswered email is a no.
That's a good point. Just keep after him.
Keep after him.
Go for the no.
Go for the no. So that, I think that concludes this topic today. Do you have anything else to add to this?
No.
Do you think I'm pretty?
No. We're just practicing here.
Do you want to take me to Paris so we can see Rachel?
No.
All right, well, then I got to go. I can't.
Do you think Rachel's enjoying herself?
No. She's having so
did we much miss fun. Did we miss Rachel today?
No. Yes, we missed Rachel.
Yes.
We missed Rachel. Hopefully she will bring us nice presents.
And Paris. A beret.
And a beret. All right, it's time to wrap up.
We got to
go. All right, Warners, we got to go. Keith has got to go. I got to go. You got to go. Thank you for listening to us in your car, or as some women have told me, they listen in their bathroom while they're getting ready for work, and that's pretty effing cool. So thanks for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with us and learn more about us, go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, where you can also connect with all of our social media channels. There you can download free downloads. We are excited. We're going to be announcing you've asked for something to buy, and we have come up with something, so be on the lookout for that. And don't forget, 5-star rating and reviews on iTunes would make us so happy. We would really appreciate that. Keith, you have anything else to add? How do people connect with you, Keith?
Well, they can connect with me via LinkedIn, which you can find my LinkedIn connection on the womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com website. And if you do connect to me through LinkedIn, please mention that you are connecting via Women Your Mother Warned You About, because I get trolled a lot on LinkedIn. Is that the right term?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And if you're wondering about that, there's another podcast on that.
There is an episode on trolling.
So just let me know why that you are listening and want to connect. And I would love to connect with you. And 5-star ratings, not just on iTunes, but if you have an Android device and you're listening on an Android device as well, you can still give us a 5-star rating.
Wow, says the iPhone guy. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. Well, I got to go, Keith. You got to go. They got to go. For our, how do I wrap up this show? I'm so used to having Rachel here. I miss you, Rachel, but I love Keith too. So, hey, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant. And this is where Rachel would say, do you know?
Bye, Keith? Warners.
She would say, and a little reverence doesn't hurt either.
Oh, that's right. And a little reverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warner.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.